This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming alive for the Build 4 Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Thursday morning. Obviously a huge day for the New York Knicks and their stars, Karl-Anthony Towns, Jalen Brunson, all eyes on them in a game 6 in Detroit. Do not want to see them have to come back to Madison Square Garden and play a game 7 with everybody on edge and sweating and biting their nails and saying, how could we possibly get knocked out in the first round? And take care of business. Play well like you have in Detroit. You don't have to worry about a couple losses from the baseball teams yesterday. Nothing to go crazy about. Mets bullpen, little bit of an issue, but they will be okay. And this Jordan Hudson, Bill Belichick against CBS thing is getting wild as they are releasing statement after statement after statement. We have a statement prepared from Stephen Waldron a little bit later from CBS Sports. He's prepared his own statement.
Oh, he's got a statement?
Statement, so we'll get that later. But, man, this story, I mean, Al said it right this morning at the warm-up show. When the New York Post decides to get involved, that's when you know you're effed. And they are digging. They were calling her high school classmates and trying to find somebody to talk trash about her. And they found somebody. Good morning, Boomer.
Sure.
How are you?
Good morning. I just want to say maybe the biggest news in sports yesterday was the fact that the Lakers went down to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, 4-1. Brutal.
And here's the thing. You know, Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle are moving on to the second round. And all I know is that the pressure just that just ramps up the pressure even more on the Knicks. It also goes to show you that, and I'm not saying that Dallas did the right thing, but it kind of takes some of the, the criticism of the Luka Doncic trade away from Dallas a little bit, because they got wiped out, and they got wiped out on their floor.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad. I do think that the totality of Luka's career in L.A. is what's going to be the be-all, end-all. But you're right. As far, like, if this team, if the Lakers had gone on to an NBA Finals appearance, then, yeah, that thing would have gotten even worse. So, yeah, a little tiny bit of heat off of Nico Harrison, but obviously the Mavericks are nowhere to be found right now. But, yeah, this was an ugly one. I feel like Luka kind of got the criticism of him not so great. I mean, not so much. It was more LeBron and J.J. Redick that were getting it this time around.
All I can tell you is that if you're Dallas and you made that trade and this happens to the Lakers in the first round, especially they played better when Luka got there, by the way, too. They really made themselves relevant, which is a credit to those guys in fitting in with each other. But getting housed by the Timberwolves in a situation like this, I mean, that is it says a lot about the trade from Dallas. There was a reason why they wanted to trade him.
It says a lot about the trade, just because they lost in the first round.
Well, you got to understand that Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving both got hurt, so we don't know how that would have worked out. We have no idea.
But that's the part of it is like, you know, Kyrie Irving's had knee problems throughout his entire career, and Anthony Davis is never healthy. So when you trade for a guy who's never healthy and he gets hurt, you can't use the excuse that he got hurt, right?
One thing, Luka Doncic and LeBron James didn't get hurt, and they didn't win.
Right. Yeah, so, I don't know what it is about you and Luka that you really want him to be like a fat, drunk loser. There's something about him that you really don't like.
I never said
he drank himself into oblivion. You just really wanted that trade.
I'm just telling you, you want to be right about this thing, and I don't know why. I'm just trying to tell you internally what the hell was going on at Dallas.
How do we know?
Well, because you could read between the lines.
So you're telling me that Nico Harrison is a good GM and that was a mistake on his part?
He did the right thing? Only time will tell whether it's a mistake, but I think this is a feather in his cap right now. I definitely do. And by the way, okay. You know, even you said it before me. You said he looked pudgy.
No, I didn't.
You said something like he looked chunky or something.
No. Well, I never said that. I said pudgy about Jackson Dart. Luka, I've always been a Luka guy. And Luka took them to the finals last year. They slapped this team together. I mean, I think every single Dallas Mavericks fan would take him back in a heartbeat. This is a business, and they're canceling season tickets. The entire organization is upside down. Nico Harrison got criticized for like holding secret media sessions and then started talking and then he was talking in circles. It's a disaster over there. So this might be
a disaster in Los Angeles right now?
No. I think it's they're out, but it's not a disaster like where the Mavericks are.
Just because the Mavericks had two major injuries. I don't know what to tell you. That's like what happened with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. He got here.
So you're predicting that the Mavericks, if they were healthy, they would have gone to the NBA Finals? And they would have won a round.
Maybe,
we don't know that.
Maybe.
Why do you want that trade what is it about this thing that you're so hyper focused on that you feel like you have to be right about it? Because it's strange to me.
Because
I keep coming back to it. It's a trade for Dallas and LA. Who gives two craps at this point?
It's
what First Take does, not what we do.
I know that, but it's big money, it's business. It's interpersonal relationships.
Yeah, and they blew it because their fan base hates them now. So that's big money. That's business. They're canceling all season tickets. I mean, just because, you know, and then you say, well, they got hurt. Okay, well, you brought in Kyrie Irving, who's got knees of a 50-year-old, and Anthony Davis, who plays occasionally.
And by the way, Kyrie Irving was playing great for the Mavericks.
Yeah, and okay.
Until he blew out his Achilles.
Yeah, and you know who's playing great with? Luka Doncic, and they went to the finals last year. And they traded that guy. For a guy who always gets hurt, and then they got hurt.
As opposed to investing $345 million in somebody that they didn't think that they could count on.
Okay, they didn't think that.
Yeah, that's so, exactly right.
Right, and they also made a trade with one particular team and didn't make him available anywhere else, which was, from all accounts, no matter who you are, you evaluate that and say that was stupid.
But again, you know what the Lakers actually show you is just how important it is to have people that can play together, understand how to play off of each other and, you know, not be, I don't want to say selfish, that's probably the wrong word, but they just, you know, LeBron is not what he was 10 years ago. We all know that. I mean, he's a freak of nature. He's a great player, but he's just not what he was 10 years ago. They got wiped out by the Timberwolves.
They did.
Wiped out.
Yeah, four games to one. That happened.
At least I can point to the Mavericks and say they had injuries. That's why they didn't make it. These guys didn't have injuries.
Yeah, once again, I don't know what it is. You really want to be right about this thing. Like, so much so that it's almost like I love you to death. I'm confused about this one.
Do you know how much money this trade cost?
No, I'm asking you, though. Like, I don't want to talk about the topic anymore. I'm asking you, why are you so hyper-focused
because
on this?
Because I'm fascinated by the amount of money that this is costing Luka Doncic.
Okay.
He had the world by the, you know what, in Dallas, was going to get a $345 million extension in a no-tax state, and out of the blue, in the middle of the night, they traded him to the highest tax state, and he cannot receive the Supermax that he would have gotten from Dallas. I mean, it's amazing how much money it's costing Luka Doncic. That's the thing that I'm really, really... I mean, it just blew me away.
Well, we should start a GoFundMe for him because I think that he probably needs it. You know, with the career earnings here, let's take a look.
Nobody really cares about his money. But I'm just telling you, he had a chance to make so much more money, and by trading him, they cost him probably between $130 and $150 million.
Okay,
that's insane.
Yeah. Well, he'll make it up somehow.
No, Vlad Guerrero got what? How much? $500 million up front or something? What did Toronto give him?
$500 million.
Right, up front, guaranteed. And this way, the Canadian and Toronto taxes are not involved.
Yeah. So, let's see. By the end of this current contract in 2026, Luka will be $247 million.
He could have gotten a $345 million extension.
Yeah, and he didn't get it. but I still think he's okay.
I'm always fascinated by the business of sports, as well as the interpersonal relationships that lead to a trade like this.
So that was a good business move by the Mavericks?
Only time will tell, but initially the returns on that within their own house are not good.
Yeah.
I will admit that. I totally admit that. But I also know that he, for some reason, they royally screwed him. Yep. For some reason. And I don't know what that reason is. Why would a team do it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
that's the part that fascinates me.
They thought that they were going to go in a different direction, make a trade, and maybe they didn't believe, even though they took him to the finals last year. I mean, they did go to the NBA finals.
Something
with
happened.
The guy.
Something happened.
Yeah, okay. Well, they moved on from him. He's on the Lakers now, and now they're out. But
and they got blasted.
But I mean, I still think every Maverick fan would take Luka Doncic back right now. And they would.
What are the chances that the Knicks and Timberwolves could be meeting the championships?
Zero.
Okay. That would be amazing.
0% chance. Yeah, and if they did meet in the finals, we'd open up with Luka Doncic, I'm sure, because you can't get off it. Knicks game one finals. Hey, I just want to go back to all the money that Luka was.
That I'm talking about Luka Doncic this morning is because they got housed.
Yeah, I know.
They got housed.
No, the reason you're talking about
they got housed because by Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo and Ant-Man.
Yeah. I mean,
and Rudy Gobert. They got housed.
Right. They certainly did. The LA Lakers, and the Lakers are one of those teams.
In their building, they got housed.
Yeah, they did. I mean,
hey, all those celebrities there. Come on, Luka, let's go.
You know, who was also getting housed in their own building.
The Knicks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, they got it. They got to. You know, now they got to answer back tonight. They put themselves. And by the way, your man Cade Cunningham is guaranteeing they're coming back for game seven.
How is he my man? He's not my man.
Well, you like him.
I mean, I thought that I think he's a good player. How could you not?
That's what I'm saying. I'm there with you, but you've been pointing out just how dominant he's been.
I have not necessarily done that, I don't think. I just think he's been really good. I did say before the series when you said that the Knicks had the best top three players on the court, I did fight back on that and push back on that and said, I don't think so. I mean, I think Cade Cunningham's got to be in that conversation. But no, I'm not. I mean, he annoys me because he's good and effective and could easily take this team to the next round, the Detroit Pistons, if he keeps playing like this.
Better not let that happen.
Yeah, well, if that does happen, then...
If that does happen, all hell's going to break loose around here.
But will it? You know, that's really the question. So... Jim Dolan is...
He's expecting to go to at least, I would think, after what they did and the amount of money that they've spent.
Yeah.
You know, with the extension for Ananobi, with the trade for Karl Anthony Towns, the contract for Jalen Brunson. I mean, they're spending a lot of money. And I think that they thought that they could play with the Celtics. Now, we haven't seen that this year. And we keep hearing about, you know, they have to learn to play together and... You know, they've played a little bit better, but let's face it, the Detroit Pistons don't shoot the three like the Celtics do.
No, they don't. And I was going to say that Jim Dolan can be loyal to a fault with the guys that he really likes. So I don't think that the front office is going to change. Is Thibodeau one of those guys that Jim Dolan's going to say, listen, I got to stick with him. I love him. He turned this franchise around just like, you know, Brunson did. Or does he look at him like Chris Drury? Because Chris Drury had a lot of heat on him. I understand it's a coach, general manager, different thing. But Chris Drury had a lot of heat on him at the end of the season. I know that Dolan loves him and believes in him. Does he look at Tibbs the same way if they go out in the first round?
Well, Chris Drury's had a lot of success over the last 3 years.
Well, so was Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, but not President's Trophy success and not Eastern Conference Finals success.
Well, they were one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals, and they ended up getting everybody was hurt. So back-to-back 50-win seasons. No, you use that excuse, but everybody was hurt. It was true. And by the way, they made it to the playoffs in the second round. They didn't miss the playoffs. And they didn't trade away a guy when they went to the finals the previous year and then missed the playoffs.
So Ananobi didn't play in the playoffs last year and they gave him a
Jalen
huge contract.
Hurt and Josh
yeah,
Hart
I know, I know, I know. I was, here, I was sitting here. I was watching the same games you were watching. And right. I know all about, you know, who was hurt and who wasn't hurt.
And you know
all
who didn't I'm miss saying, the playoffs all, during this whole time? All, Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks. They didn't miss the playoffs.
Right,
Rangers
so
did.
So he has to... This year they did, and that's why they fired the coach. But I will say that when you're talking about where the Knicks are, the amount of money they spent, the changes they made, all of those things are done to beat the Celtics in the second half. You know, that's basically, or this, I mean, in the second round. That's why those trades were made. That's why these players were brought in. And now they're slugging it out with the Detroit Pistons. And Cade Cunningham basically is guaranteed a game seven.
Yeah, which is whatever. I mean, fine. And if they do get to game seven, then I'll start to get worried. They are favored, the Pistons, in this game, I'm pretty sure.
Well, the Knicks were favored, you know, last game.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the Knicks have been the favorite the entire series. It's a little bit different than you're in game six.
Now all of a sudden it's shifting.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's only a point and a half. I mean, these games have been so close and so crazy that, yeah, Pistons minus 1.5.
I mean, that's the crazy thing. Like, not one of these teams has exploded on the other team. Maybe the Knicks in game one towards the end. But every other game has been, like, within a bucket or two.
Well, yeah, because of the physical nature of it and banging into each other.
All these other teams, man, you know, even, like, Houston, they killed Golden State last night.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't the Knicks do that?
Well, because I think they are facing a little bit of a tougher team. They're facing a top five defensive team in the league. I think that has something to do with it. The Pistons every single night bring defense. These other teams do not.
You think the NBA offices make a call to the refs tonight?
I hope so. I'll take anything that can help the Knicks. I don't care. No shame. If that frozen envelope thing happened with Patrick Ewing, I'm all for it. If you want to help the Knicks out with the officials and pay them off, I'm fine with that too. Just get to the next round and let me see what they can do against the Celtics. And I, you know, it's not just making it to the second round and playing the Celtics. If they get swept by them and get blown out in four games, like the way that they have looked for most of the year against Boston, then you got to think about major changes then too. If they lose this series, yes, major changes. If they get to the next series and then get smacked around like they're just nothing, sort of like the Yankees did when they made it to the ALCS and the Astros swept them, and then you know, you had Brian Cashman go, oh, we made it to the ALCS. Okay, but did you really? I mean, you didn't win a game, you got swept. It's really about how far away are they? If they don't win the series, how far away are they?
Oh, if they don't win the series, changes are coming.
I'm talking about the Celtics here, if they make it there. But the Pistons, yeah, obviously.
I mean, if the Knicks lose this round and they're all healthy, there's going to be changes. You know
yeah,
that.
I mean, they got to lose two in a row. So I originally said Knicks in six. We'll see if it happens. But they got to lose two in a row. I don't think that'll happen. I have to have some faith in them this morning that they can go into Detroit just like they did games 3 and 4 and win. Because, I mean, game 7 back at the Garden, yeah, that would be, everybody would, the energy that would be in that building would not be positive.
It would be tentative.
Yeah, just totally like.
Now, Jim Dolan would love that because that would give him another home game.
Sure.
And they'd make even more money.
Yeah, but
I mean, that's kind of like what you want when you're an owner. You want a full 7-game series.
If you can guarantee that you win it.
Yeah.
Because I think you'd rather, because you don't know what's going to happen in the future, guarantee yourself two more home games in the next round as opposed to guaranteeing yourself one more home game in the first round and not knowing if you're going to get the other ones in the second round.
Well, the interesting thing, if the Knicks lose this game and they have to come back home in a game 7, then they don't get that extended rest and maybe Boston will be off a little bit. This will be off like 2 weeks or something.
I hope. They're going to need everything. They're going to need an injury. They're going to need something. I don't know. I mean, I hate to think that way, and I want to be able to have so much faith in this team that has shown flashes. But, hey, maybe today will be the rocking chair game for them. And then
I'm not even thinking that.
Maybe it will be. I mean, it hasn't been the entire series. Maybe it is. Give us a reason to believe.
Something happens at halftime because they come out and they play that third quarter and it's like they're sleepwalking.
That's been a Tibbs thing for years now, even prior to Towns getting here. It's just been weird. Like, just with Julius Randle teams, they were always brutal in the third quarter.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco in here, and he's got a sports update for us. What's going on, Jerry?
I know you guys did a lot on the basketball. I'll get back to that in a moment, but I'll run down some of the baseball because you had a couple of games last night and one horrible incident in Pittsburgh. We will get to that and more. We will start at Citi Field, though, where the Diamondbacks were playing the Mets. The Mets had been dominant at home throughout the course of the month and, of course, a couple of days in March. Last night, however, was not their night.
Two outs, two strike pitch. Lifted in the air, left field. Here comes McNeil sprinting in, dives. He traps it. It lands in for a hit. Two-run score. Perdomo has given Arizona a 2-1 lead on a sinking line drive the other way, just feet in front of Jeff McNeil.
And that was Keith Radd on Mets Odyssey Radio. Made it 2-1. The Mets would be in a little bit of defensive trouble with the bases loaded, or second and third, I guess it was, with nobody out. A couple of sac flies tacked on to make it a 4-1 game in the ninth. They showed a pulse. Tyrone Taylor homered. The Mets would load the bases with nobody out, and all they got was one lousy run. That was it. On a ground out by Jesse Winker, as Vientos struck out, Winker grounded out, which drove in a run, and then someone else grounded out to end the game. I think it was Francisco Alvarez.
He did.
That's who it was. Here was Carlos Mendoza. You talk about bases loaded, nobody out. You only get one run. So, like, what was the issue tonight?
Not getting the big hit, you know, and they got the big hit, especially with two outs. We created some chances, and we couldn't come through. I think that's, you know, you could make a case for that. You know, we created a lot of traffic, and we just came up short.
Yeah, and we mentioned Vientos, who did strike out with the base, also homered earlier in the game. Ryan Stanek suffered the loss. He was charged with two runs on three hits over just two-thirds of an inning, but he says he feels he did a lot better than the box score would show.
Expected numbers, like on most of these balls I'm getting hits on, are pretty good in my favor, and, I mean, gave up three hits a day, and the hardest one might have been 80. So, like, you just kind of look at it and go, all I can do is beat the hitter, and they couldn't have thrown the ball in a better spot, and such is life.
Squared up rate, hard hit rate.
That's exactly
in the percentiles, exactly 98% percentiles. What can you do?
Some aren't having it, though.
Yeah.
Like Frank the Tank, not having it.
Mm.
All right, right now, Ryan Stank, that's his name now. It's no longer Ryan Stanek. It's Ryan Stank. He absolutely sucks. Three straight times he's coming here and lost a lead and lost a game.
How do you really feel, Frank?
Yeah, poor Frank got the Devils eliminated.
I know.
Mets ended up losing yesterday, so.
I know.
I mean, he's got to be.
A little extreme.
Yeah, he's got to be thrilled with the Mets start,
for
crying out loud,
21
Frank.
And
Jesus, man.
21
We're just
seven.
Getting into Juan Soto May. So we'll be all right.
Better hope so.
Yeah, the big May is coming.
He was 0 for 4 last night with a
loss. You know, I'm more worried about Francisco Alvarez.
Well, I mean, he just got back. He did hit the home run in Washington. Maybe slow to get started. We shall see. I will say, though, watching the game, I thought, so they come back from commercial break. I don't know if it was the third or the fourth thing. I don't remember. But they come back from commercial break, and Gary is talking about some of the streaks that ended in baseball with guys having not pitched in a long time, making starts. Talked about Jacob deGrom getting his first win two nights ago for the first time in 700 days. I didn't realize it was his first win of the season. And so then they went into something I thought was very, very cool, as they acknowledged one of our pals who was on one hell of an Ironman streak.
Our beloved radio producer-engineer Chris Majkowski today is engineering and producing his 5,000th consecutive Mets regular and postseason game.
Madge never gets sick.
Last missed a game in 1993 for his sister's wedding.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
For his sister's wedding, he wasn't even sick.
No. He wasn't like he took off. It was for a wedding.
You know, that's dedication, Jerry.
It is.
That's dedication,
but like
right there,
Keith,
man.
Said right in the middle, like, he doesn't get sick. He's a single guy. No germs. I think we know a guy like that that never gets sick with no one. But that's a big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, Madge is great. I'm happy to say that I was proud to say I worked with him all those years ago on the Mets games before. Obviously, we switched to the Yankees radio network. So he's just the best, man. You get to know him. He's a funny, dry sense of humor guy. Old school. They don't make him like Madge anymore, man.
You're right.
No, they don't.
And it's not just the Mets. I mean, he works for St. John's. He does stuff with the Guard. He's all over the place. So, pretty cool.
Remember the best Madge moment in my tenure there was when there was a brawl. And unfortunately, Sam Beningo, at the time, Joe's daughter, was on the board and didn't have Madge in queue. And Madge wanted Sam to bring it back from the break. And he's yelling, "Get back! Get out of the goddamn spot! There's a brawl here! Get out of the spot!" So everybody's got a moment.
I'll see if I can find CeeLo would be on that in 2 seconds. Yeah. I'll see if I can find that for you for next hour.
All right.
Oh, that is funny. So anyhow, so the Mets lost. They are off to no series tonight today at 1:10. Excuse me. Kodai Senga makes the start on 880 Mets Odyssey Radio. The Yankees are off tonight. Last night they did lose to the Orioles.
His pitch swung on, hit hard, right center field. It gets all the way out to Judge and scoring easily as Henderson has got great wheels. Score standing up, no throw.
Yeah.
And Adley Rutschman ringing a bell with an RBI single, his second hit tonight. Now it's 4-2 Baltimore in the second.
You know what I want to do? What I want to do, too, is I want to play that, and then I want to play you next to it. Because you actually sounded like Madge the way you just did that, and I think recalled it word for word. So I'll try and find it.
Out of the goddamn spot. We got a brawl here.
So that was the big hit last night. The Orioles beat the Yankees 5-4. Along the way, you know, Dave and Susan, they've known each other for a long time, so they have a nice relationship. But Dave finding things out about Susan that I think surprised him last night in terms of her viewing habits, if you will. Now, the starting pitcher for the Orioles last night was Cade Povich.
Yes.
So here is Dave talking about him and then where it goes.
Cade Povich on the mound. I'm told he's not related to Maury. First pitch inside, ball one. Make that a strike.
I wouldn't think so.
Did some research. They did hear that Maury Povich on his golf balls, a lot of times you put your name or initial on, he says, you are not the father. That's what he has on his golf balls.
You're not the what?
You are not the father. That's what he has on his golf balls. No idea, man.
Any reason?
No, no, that's the whole point of this show. Remember, they do all, whatever. I can't explain.
No, I'm sorry. I never really watched.
Well, you're probably lucky in that regard.
You know what is funny?
How did she not know that?
Everybody know. I thought everybody knew that.
I guess not.
Yeah.
I guess not. She's just, she's baseball. So that was kind of funny. 5-4 was the final. Let's tell you, Aaron Judge, though, on the loss here, 3-for-3, a home run, a walk, 3 RBIs. He's batting .427, 10 home runs, 32 runs driven in. He says the numbers are good, but it is still early. Let's relax.
You just got to go up there with confidence no matter what. You know, I felt the same even when I was hitting, you know, 170 last year, and you guys are asking me all the questions about when you got to turn around. So it's just, I can't focus on results. You got to focus on the process and trying to get a job done.
It is
and,
like,
you know, if you do that for 500 at basket, things are going to happen.
It is like he's playing a completely different game than everybody else.
I couldn't agree
more. I mean, it looks like he's playing against little leaguers at times, or I would say minor leaguers.
It leads the league in everything but runs. Can we get up there now with the runs? Can we lead the league in that, please?
And even
as well?
That is 29 or 30.
I mean, amazing. I mean, a lot of these, I mean, if he's not hitting it out of the ballpark, I mean, he's hitting these base hits and everything just out of the reach of the fielders.
Yeah.
I mean, like perfectly placed balls.
No he doubt. Dropped the ball.
Well, that did happen too. That is true. The Yankees are home for the Rays tomorrow night. And you don't want, this is a terrible story, but I'll play it anyhow just because it did happen. And it is a big story. So the Pirates beat the Cubs 4-3. In the middle of the game, while play was going on, a fan fell from the 21-foot wall in right field. Here was on Pirates TV how the players saw it.
This is the reaction after the double. O'Neill Cruz points to Billy Falter and everybody else now pointing at the fan had fallen.
And the man is said to be in critical condition. This was Pirates manager Derek Shelton, who says, yeah, that was a tough few minutes.
Even though it's, you know, 350 feet away or whatever it is, I mean, the fact of how it went down and then, you know, laying motionless while the play's going on. I mean, Craig saw it. I saw it. We both got out there. I think the umpire saw it, unfortunately, because of the way the ball kicked, you know, but just it's extremely unfortunate. I mean, that's an understatement.
And so there's, yeah, obviously a lot of different things out there, but some people that were there said they believed he was intoxicated. Some
he also wasn't wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
So he looked like he was probably having a good time.
And if you see the video, it is just horrifying.
Yeah, so. I actually didn't see the video. I saw pictures of him laying there.
Yeah.
But you could see it really did affect the players.
No question. All right, tonight in Detroit, Game 6, Knicks-Pistons. The Knicks up 3-2. If they win, they advance. They play Boston in the conference semifinals. If they lose, they will host Detroit in Game 7 Saturday at the Garden. Last night, the T-Wolves took it to the Lakers as they really took advantage of the size advantage.
Here's Randle on the run, into the paint, out to Dante wing right. He'll move to his left. He'll fire in a three. It's offline. Rudy got the rebound and slammed it home. A new postseason postseason career high, 27 points, and a new postseason career high, 21 rebounds for the big man.
And ended with 24 rebounds. That was T-Wolves radio with the call. 103-96, Minnesota wins in L.A., and they take the series 4-1. Gobert on TNT, what a game.
Feels great. Feels great. You know, we had a season with a lot of ups and downs, and to come here and play the way we did tonight means a lot.
And there are some.
And he had 24 rebounds.
24 rebounds. Wow. That's really the difference in this game. They couldn't, you know, the T-Wolves couldn't shoot it from the outside to save their lives, but when you rebound the ball like that.
And you're right around the basket, just correct. Like the Pistons have been against the Knicks.
Exactly. Here was the TNT guy. So I guess Shaq has had this thing with Gobert over the years, not the biggest of fans. Even he had to be polite and nice last night. I don't know if this is at halftime or after the game, either way.
And I never thought I'd say this, but Shaq has video of Rudy Gobert.
And I never thought I would say these words that are about to come out of my mouth, but Rudy Gobert is dominating.
You know, they're having a laugh, but that is true. He absolutely dominated this game, and so the T-Wolves do advance. And how about, you know, they mentioned Dante in that. That's Dante DiVincenzo who missed the three, but how about your guy Julius Randle at 23 points? So pretty on a night where Anthony Edwards couldn't shoot, they had other guys step up, and they went on the road.
This is why the pressure is even ramped up a little bit more intense against the Knicks now.
Understood. Got to go win this game tonight. Rockets beat the Warriors 131-116. There is an odd tie-in to a guy you guys know, Al Dukes, to this game. I will get to that next hour.
Right? What game is this now?
This is the Rockets and the Warriors. There's a very strange Al Dukes tie-in. Next hour.
There's no way.
I have editing to do. Right. No, but there really is, actually. So we'll get to that.
Draymond Green have a greyhound he wants to get rid of?
No, but you're kind of close.
Okay.
You're kind of close. The NFL, how about this? Fine the Falcons $250,000 and Jeff Ulbrich $100,000 for his son's prank of Shedeur Sanders during the draft.
You know, it's amazing. A lot of people over the years have gotten pranked.
Abdul Carter
like
did too, I saw yesterday Adam Schefter put
That's
out
what
there.
They but said. A lot of it's guys being investigated. Pranked.
Yeah. You know, they have. And, you know, and the reason they went after Shedeur is obviously they didn't like him, but more importantly, they knew that he was going to be on social media when he got this call.
Well, yeah, and they
I'm not saying it's right. I mean, Jeff Ulbrich's son Jax is a jackass for doing it.
Well, yeah, and but, it's out there and they know who it is. So the other guys might have happened to, but how do you figure out who did it? This they know.
Exactly, but this has been going on for years, just so you know.
Right, anonymously. This was not anonymous. Here's Ulbrich. Feels terrible, as you can imagine.
Tremendous amount of regret for what my son did and for what I allowed.
And then how he and they handled it.
Obviously not happy and shocked. And so I made the Falcons aware of the situation. And then our next course of action was to try to get a hold of the Sanders family so we could apologize in person, which we were able to do. The Sanders family, Shedeur and Coach Sanders were amazingly gracious.
Oh, there you go.
Gracious.
Perfect.
Than they needed to be in a moment like
yes,
that.
Exactly. What do you do? So, I mean, Jeff Ulbrich stood up. He didn't try to hide anything, and he just went right to the source. And got it done.
I even saw Dion. I think TMZ had it. Even Dion said, we move on, you know, whatever. And so it's over. But that's a big fine. $100,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And $250,000 to the team.
Oof.
NHL real quick. Capitals ousted the Canadiens 4-1. They win that series in 5. The Panthers did eliminate the Lightning, winning 6-3. They won in 5. And the Jets beat the Blues 5-3. They have a 3-2 series lead there.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It is May 1st.
May Day, baby.
How about that? We have made it through April. It's just wild because it felt like April just started and we got through March, but we are here May 1st and it's amazing. All of a sudden you wake up and it's week 10 in the NFL. I don't know how it happens every year, but you say, wow, it's week 1 and the next thing you know, it's week 10. But anyway, this CBS Jordan Hudson thing went wild yesterday. I mean, there are so many stories now with Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson. Everybody's getting involved. More people are combing through their North Carolina emails. I mean, and then as I mentioned too, you've got the New York Post who has decided to go all in on it. And we are fans of the Post. They do a great job with their sports section still when a lot of newspapers don't and have cut back. But they have gone all in on this, calling Jordan Hudson's classmates in high school, trying to get a beat on what type of person she was then. One person said that, yeah, she's very controlling. This doesn't surprise us. A lot of other people just said, yeah, she was nice. She smiled, whatever. But they're going all in on this. And then another story comes out yesterday about how she has amassed $8 million in real estate as soon as she met Bill Belichick. Now she's got a real estate portfolio that is worth $8 million. And she also has a beautiful Porsche that she is driving around.
You know, he's probably worth a couple hundred million.
Yeah,
at
exactly.
least, I would think. And then you also got to remember that like guys like Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski have all supported this thing that happened with CBS, because they're claiming that she is acting as his publicist.
Yes,
and that she's also worked with the University of North Carolina, especially when he hired his son, Steven, to be their defense coordinator, that don't refer to him as Bill's son.
Yeah, she was very conscious of the whole nepotism thing, didn't want the criticism. She's protecting him as his publicist. But, I mean, you can't really have that both ways, especially when it's such a controversial relationship to begin with. It's just a weird thing to have her be the one that's in the room in all these interviews, and she's the one that's dealing with these emails, and she's the one who allegedly killed the UNC Hard Knocks thing. I mean, she's everywhere.
Well, if she is his publicist, and she is now his right-hand gal, I guess you'd call her.
Yeah.
I mean, she's doing what she thinks she should be doing. Like I said, there are people in his life that really support it, and then there are going to be a lot of people outside that are going to say, this is ridiculous. That's all there is to it. Even Steven's wife got in. Steve Belichick's wife got involved
yes.
in this.
Yeah, and in a negative way towards Jordan Hudson. So,
well, she was reacting to the fact that people were calling her his publicist.
Yeah.
And what she said is that a true professional publicist doesn't get out and storm out of an interview
for 30 minutes, which is what TMZ has been reporting. So CBS has all this on tape. They could very easily, because this is going back and forth, release it. I mean, they were forced to release the 60 Minutes thing in that whole controversy with Kamala Harris. That didn't make them look great. This would probably make them look better in this situation.
Well, I mean, that's more politics. This is more like, this is personal kind of, I mean, it's football. It's not politics. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's entertainment.
It is entertainment.
We
I
are
understand.
In show business. If I'm them and they're going back and forth and refuting these claims, I would say, hey, here's the whole video. Told you. You want to call us liars? Well, we've got the tapes and you don't.
Right.
Jordan.
Right. And it goes back to the email that Bill Belichick sent out to everybody that's a part of the promotional tour for the book.
Yeah.
Like, he knew that when, he sat down for an interview, that it was going to be sensationalized because of this relationship and because now he's at North Carolina and he's not in the NFL.
That's right.
So he kind of knew it. Like, he said in that email that he sent out to the people that are close to him and the people that are promoting the book, look, this is about my professional career. This is about what I accomplished as a football coach, taking a $500 million football team and creating an $8 billion organization.
Yeah.
And like I said yesterday, that particular line in that email tells me all I need to know about the relationship between Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft.
Yeah, absolutely, and why those two are not on great terms right now.
He wanted more money and more respect.
Yep, and he never got that from Bob Kraft. There's this picture of Jordan Hudson, I guess, when she won a pageant, and she's got the sash on that says Miss Hancock, and that's everywhere.
Well, she was Miss Hancock.
She was. Now she's Miss Oldcock. Couldn't resist. It was right there. I couldn't do it. I couldn't help myself.
Is that Hancock Insurance or is that Hancock the town, Al?
I think it's the town.
And that's Hancock, Massachusetts,
I believe so, yeah.
Where is Hancock, Massachusetts?
Not sure. I could Google it.
Okay.
She was Miss Hancock. It's,
I mean, does every town, like, have, like,
a
beauty pageant?
In Berkshire County.
Okay. The Berkshires.
It's part of the Pittsfield, Massachusetts metropolitan statistical area. So it's near Pittsfield.
Actually, this one where that she's competing with is in Hancock, Maine.
Oh, it's in Maine.
Oh, yeah. It's the Maine Hancock,
so Maine.
She's competing for Miss Hancock, which if she wins, then she could go to the Miss Maine pageant to
now,
win Miss Maine.
Did she win that or is she?
It's
she's
upcoming.
Oh, it's upcoming. Oh, man.
Wow, so that's a recent picture then. That's why that one's out there so much. Eddie, ever been to Hancock, Maine? I feel like that's a place you would know.
I am not familiar. I have been to Maine twice.
But you've not been to Hancock.
Not that I am aware. Is it
Where
east?
Is it in relation to Portland?
Let me check a map.
It's,
So she wins this.
It's
then
way north.
All right, so if she wins
Aroostook
this.
County?
How is she going to lose this? She's not going to lose this.
Yeah, there can't be anybody. I mean, else
like,
there
if, you
in
want,
Hancock,
like
Maine.
If you want publicity and you want to show off Hancock, Maine, then she's got to win.
Yeah, if you're Hancock, you got to give it to her. You know,
I mean, like, I'd feel bad for the other girls.
Yeah, they got no chance. They got absolutely no chance.
And I guess last year she was runner up for Miss Maine.
Oh,
she
wow.
Yeah. Wow. So she's back in the competition now.
Yes.
So she won Hancock last year. And moved on to Miss Maine and became runner-up.
I don't know if she went to Miss Hancock last year or a different pageant. That
you can't,
they,
you can't be all, bouncing around the towns.
Maybe she's looking to see who has the weaker schedule.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, when you look at it from an analytical standpoint and you see what's out there, I think this is the football part of her.
I know there are some women that compete for Miss America.
Yes.
Like, let's say they live in New Jersey. They know, like, for example, like, Idaho is weak. They'll move to Idaho to compete in Miss Idaho to win that to compete for Miss America.
Just go to Delaware.
Or Delaware.
Just go right there. It's so easy. And there's less people.
Miss Maine 2024. I want to see who beat her. It is Anna Baldridge. Ann Baldridge.
And?
And so I just got a name. I'm sure she's beautiful.
Okay. Can't Google the image?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, she wins Miss Maine. You
but
know?
I mean, there's also a talent aspect to this. What's Jordan's talent?
Elder abuse.
Is that on the air, Eddie?
Yes.
Okay, good. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I mean, she's what you would expect. You know, wonderful, accomplished woman, very attractive. You could see why she won Miss Maine. Jordan Hudson probably throws darts at her picture in one of her six houses that she bought after meeting Bill Belichick.
And by the way, she did win, this is Jordan Hudson, Miss Hancock last year. So that's how she did get the Miss Maine. So she's going back to the same spot.
Going back.
Does she have an accomplished, I mean, what does she do other than, I mean, she's great looking, of course. But.
Yeah.
What is her talent?
Yeah, we don't know. I that we could look
she
that up and see what she did.
Or something, or
yeah.
And does she have a platform?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But she's going for it again. And if you're Maine, do you want this? Do you
oh
want
yeah,
this type of publicity
yeah,
or not?
You have to have it,
like Hancock does, because they're like, all right, you know, we're going to put ourselves on the map with this. We found out about Hancock. You got a guy in there, Eddie, who's been to Maine twice, didn't know about Hancock, so Hancock's all in.
Right just north of Bar Harbor.
Yes.
So. Bar Harbor, okay. So is it on the coast?
Yes.
It's probably a nice directly, summer vacation spot, you think, Eddie?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, for a month, probably. They get nice weather up there, and it'll be beautiful.
Yeah,
July
they have,
or August.
How far is it from Kennebunkport?
Probably, I would guess, about 90 minutes, maybe.
Oh, wow. So it's way up there.
Yeah, so if you're Hancock, you're like, all right, this is great for us. People know who we are now. If you're Maine, everybody knows Maine already.
Well, they know Maine because of the governor.
But it's true. But do they want this type of publicity?
But this would be much better than that, the other publicity.
True.
Yeah, check that. 3 hours drive from Kennebunkport.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's way up there.
Let's do a remote.
So it's on the Canadian border?
No. Well, it's still on the down east part, coastal Maine.
Okay.
You know, because you can go another 5 hours north to the border.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me. But there she is.
So when does this take place? Does this take place during? It's like during football season, two-a-days.
Oh, it'd be great if Bill Belichick missed a game to go up to the Miss Maine competition. Oh, it'd be awesome. And then Steve has to coach. And Dole's there in the back smiling. Oh, it'd be amazing. Yeah, I got to miss the game against Clemson this year because going up to, we're on to Miss Maine.
When is that?
May 10th and the 11th.
Oh, so it's right around the corner. So it's, so he can make it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know when North Carolina's spring game is. I think it probably already happened. Yes. Yeah, so this is usually the downtime right now for college coaches other than recruiting. And I just saw where it's being reported that the University of Texas is going to spend between $40 and $50 million on their football team.
Yeah, sounds about right. For these days.
Yeah, because, you know, right now it's still the wild, wild west because the settlement between the Supreme Court and the NCAA has not been totally adjudicated.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.